Hello, and thank you for tuning in to Mormon Channel Daily. I'm Charlotte Kniep. And something that everyone wants, yet might not readily admit to, is wanting to marry someone that they find very attractive. I know that's what I wanted when I was looking for a spouse. And certainly physical attraction isn't the most vital part of a relationship, but it does play a role. And it's important to note that there are lots of different ways to be attracted to someone, whether it's physically, spiritually, intellectually, or emotionally. And former marriage therapist and current relationship coach Alisa Goodwin Snell is here with us in studio today to talk about how you can marry the most attractive person. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So what do you mean by marrying the most attractive person?
Well, I think all of us want to marry the most attractive person. You know, there's this thinking error of my partner is a reflection on me. And so there's this personal gratification that we experience when we're dating someone who is the best and that other people might see as the best. And so, unfortunately, when it comes to attraction, attraction is very different for a man versus a woman. So let's talk first about what that means for a man. It starts with the physical, you know, and we oftentimes as women, we want to criticize or be frustrated about the fact that men are looking at the physical outward appearance. And that's a big motivation in whether or not they choose to pursue a woman or not. But men are very visually oriented. That is why pornography is such an easy temptation for men, because of the way that they were wired. So in terms of attraction, the physical, the visual is very important to men. The second most important thing that makes a woman more attractive to a guy is whether or not she makes him feel great. Does she touch him? Is she feminine? Is she warm? Is she confident? Does she make him feel great? And the third thing that makes a woman more attractive to a guy is these other positive personality traits: optimism, happiness, spirituality, kindness, warmth, intelligence, a challenge. You know, there's all these other personality traits. That's what makes a woman more attractive in the eyes of a man. Well, it's very different for a woman in terms of what she finds attractive. The first things we look at is the physical, and the physical does matter, but we're a bit more forgiving of the physical. It, you know, there's other things that make a guy more attractive to us. And one of those can be his strength and confidence. A guy who is strong and confident gains a point or two in attraction. A guy who has, you know, makes me feel great gains a point in being attractive. So a guy who is a more average looking guy, or maybe a little shorter, maybe a little, you know, thinner on top, you know, those kinds of things. He can date more attractive women than he is attractive through his confidence, through his strength, through his personality characteristics. So the first thing we're looking for is just physical. The second is strength and confidence. The third is, does he make me feel great? Other things that make him more attractive is if he's really socially skilled and, you know, successful with other people in terms of making other people feel great, because the more he makes other people feel great, the better we feel about him as a partner as well. So then we get into personality traits and qualities, drive, ambition. All of those things foster, in a woman's perspective, that a guy is more attractive. The struggle with attraction, of course, is that, you know, we can always get stuck in this comparison trap of wondering if we could be with someone who is better. But on a base level, we want to be with somebody who we at least think is attractive enough for us.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge with that, though, too, is so often we're forgetting to even look at, are we attractive people? You know, we want to date better than we are. And we often tend to reject the people who are willing to accept, love, and appreciate us for who we are, because we feel that it's those who are better, those who are that top 5, 10, 15%. And so in order for us to, you know, attract the people we want to date, we have to up our game.
And take personal responsibility for how you present yourself to other people, how you make other people feel. You know, none of us are absolute perfect supermodel tens walking around the cultural
hall.
Absolutely,
we're not.
There's a lot of really attractive people, but if you don't treat people well, if you're not prioritizing your intellect or your relationships or your career or your spirituality, you're going to become less and less so.
Absolutely.
As people get to know you.
And we don't have control much over our physical endowments, what we were endowed with physically. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can lose some weight, we can dress better, we can do different things to enhance what we have. But what I want everybody to understand is the power and importance that really is in the ability to act strong and confident or act feminine and confident. The power that we have to make others feel great. The power that we have to be happy and positive and driven and to engender these other positive traits that really do influence the attraction scale. And so when it comes to dating the best, we want to understand more accurately what really does drive attraction. It's not just the physical that drives attraction. It's these other things as well. But that means not just looking for it in another person. It's looking and fostering that within ourselves and actually really believing that it makes a difference. Believing that my ability to touch you with warmth and kindness, to look you in the eyes, to show femininity and warmth and make you feel great, has as much power as anything else. That being said, though, the way I invest in my outward appearance does communicate to other people whether or not they would find value investing in me.
Right.
So if I don't invest in my outward appearance, it's like I'm saying that I don't believe I have value because I don't value myself enough to invest in myself. So then, therefore, why would other people invest time and money in me as well if I don't value investing time and money in me? So it's a complex problem that we have because we have to address the physical, but we need to put more weight and stock in all the other things.
In the emotional, yeah.
Yeah, and all of these other qualities and traits. But if we don't at least initially address the physical, it will become a barrier. And so one of the things that I recommend that singles do is that for women, if the women will invest as much in themselves as they're wanting men to invest by getting to know them on a date or throughout the month of a date, they might start to find that they like themselves better. They radiate more joy and happiness. They get more attention.
You feel more confident,
too. They feel more confident. They'll act more confident. They'll like other people more, and they'll find other people like them more. It really is important to treat ourselves as our own best investment, not in a self-centered way, but in a way that says, I know my value enough that I invest in myself. And because I know my value enough, other people will see my value and want to invest in me as well.
One of my favorite authors, Gretchen Rubin, is famous for saying outer order contributes to inner calm. And I think that can apply to your home, to your car, to your desk at work, and to your physical body as well. Like you were saying, you'll feel better about yourself on the inside. You'll feel like you have something to contribute and give to someone else in order to foster a good relationship. So these are great for dating years. How can you incorporate these same skills into marriage?
We often forget to prioritize ourselves and our relationships in marriage. And it kind of goes back to the idea of having a date night. You know, it's so easy to just stay at home and be with the kids and prioritize the kids and not get a babysitter because we fear leaving our children with someone else. What might happen? We don't want to spend the money or take the time. But the reality is we are still men and women. And when he met you as a woman, he wanted to feel like a man in your presence. He wanted to feel strong and he wanted to see your femininity and he wanted your touch and your warmth. And when she met him, she wanted to see his pursuit and feel his pursuit. Women want to be pursued and to feel wanted. And we feel more safe and secure when a man is pursuing us and wanting us. And so when we stop forgetting to nourish ourselves, our own appearance, to look better for one another, we start taking each other for granted. We stop nourishing the relationship and going on dates. We stop making those investments. We're no longer men and women with each other, and we take each other for granted. We need to reawaken that spark of our manliness and our femininity at least once a week. And it's really good for our children to see that you will treat yourself as a priority, that you have boundaries with them, you nourish the relationship so that they feel like they have the right to also treat themselves as a priority. If we never treat ourselves and our relationships as a priority, how are they going to learn to treat themselves and what's important in their life as a priority? We really do model what we want our children to develop within themselves.
And I just want to touch on maybe some different ways that we can be attracted to people outside of the physical too, with spirituality and emotion and intellect and things. What are some situations that you think couples can kind of put themselves in to really bond and really create that stronger attraction on an emotional level with each other?
You know, actually, relative to dates, I discourage my clients from doing too many dinners, sitting across the table and eating at dinner, because that only creates one form of bonding, which is one-on-one bonding. There are a lot of different ways that we actually create bonding. So in order to make an experience more memorable, we can either make something new or novel, just do something different. So I often recommend that clients, and this is definitely something that couples would enjoy that would enhance their relationship, but I recommend that they create a bucket list together of fun things that they want to do, and they start checking off on the bucket list. This could be unusual things that they've never done before. It could be eating at a restaurant or trying different kinds of food. It could be going geocaching, visiting different museums, doing things that are new and novel and unique that nourish their relationship and give them something positive to focus on and build together besides talking about the kids, that they have a list of fun things that they want to do. So anything that gets our heart rate going, anything athletic or outdoor, something that just kind of builds that bond through the chemistry of exercise. So those kinds of things can be really powerful. Doing something you've always wanted to do but are a little frightened to do, whether it's rock climbing or taking on a challenge of a really difficult hike or anything like that. Things that are a little threatening and intimidating. And when we do those things with kindness and support, wow, that is such a bonding experience.
You kind of rely on each other to get through it, too.
Absolutely. And what a great way to enhance your relationship, whether on first date or years into marriage. And then the last one is do something that's more surprising or mysterious. Tell your wife or your date that you want to plan something and you're just going to tell them what to wear and you're going to surprise them with it. Mm-hmm. Nothing will get them more curious and excited about the date than a surprise. And it doesn't have to be that elaborate. It could be just going bowling and playing with unique rules where the goal is to make the other person win. You know, all sorts of different kinds of things that are just surprising or unique.
Those are really good ideas. Thank you so much for sharing those with us. And I hope that anyone who's listening, no matter what your relationship status or dating status, marital status is right now, that you can draw some wisdom from the things that Elisa has shared today. Because I can testify, as I've only been married for 2.5 years now, but doing fun, new, novel things together really does enhance your bond with your spouse. So for more content on relationships and some past blog posts and podcasts featuring Elisa Goodwin-Snell's expert advice, you can visit mormonchannel.org. And we're going to close our episode today with a quote from LDS leader Elder Henry D. Taylor. And he said, "A happy and successful marriage will be one that is built on the important principle of love, a love recognizing not only a physical attraction, but more importantly, a deeply spiritual love that will continue forever." Thank you so much for tuning in today. Mormon Channel Daily is brought to you by The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.